Portion of scripture we read is actually really humbling when you consider that the Apostle Paul is writing here of what he endured for the Lord. But he never would have wrote this. He even says here, as he says in one other place, that what he's writing, he didn't receive like a direct revelation from God, write these things down. But we know that God intended for this to be written, or it wouldn't have been preserved for us. This is the inerrant word of God. It's not a word from Paul, even though he claims here that he was kind of writing from himself. But what he had to do in that time is that there were false teachers that were coming into the church. And they were leading the church astray. They were telling them lies, spiritual lies. And the people, it tells us here, he says here, you're accepting that. Even, and it's really amazing when you read here, he says, you suffer fools gladly. Like, you're accepting of a fool. Of a fool. A fool is a mindless person. He goes, you're accepting them gladly. Seeing, you know, you feel that you're wise in accepting this fool. And you suffer if a man bring you into bondage. Meaning, you're accepting of this. These men are coming to you. And they're bringing you into bondage. They are devouring you. You know how they devoured the widows' houses in the past, in earlier writings? He's saying they're devouring. They're taking everything that you have. If a man exalt himself, if he smite you in the face, we know Paul himself got slapped in the mouth. That was their custom. You say something, you get slapped in the mouth. And they're accepting of that. That's not what I brought you, he tells them. That's not the gospel of truth that I delivered to you. But you're listening to them telling you that I'm the fool, that I'm the one that is bad, that I'm the one that is spreading no truths and lies and so on. He goes, so they're telling you, they're exalting themselves how good they are to you, and you're receiving that. Though they're taking everything from you, though they're slapping you in the mouth, you're going to take it. You're going to accept it. You know, isn't that something what we're living through in today? Aren't we hearing these things today? What we know is a lie is being promoted, and you dare not say that's a lie. Doctors are being interviewed by senators. Can a man get pregnant? I can't answer that question. You sit there and you say, am I really seeing this is really unfolding before me? Everyone knows it's a lie. But if you say that it's a lie, you are intolerant. You're no good. So when we look at this, a church was accepting false teachers, giving them a different way that was not true. You can take math and you can skew it, and you can tell me 2 + 2 = 5, and you can keep telling me and telling me and telling me, and that's awful. But when you take scriptural truths and you change them, you're damned. You receive scriptural truths twisted into a lie. You have now become damned for eternity. And Paul is telling them this. So now I have to tell you a little bit something that is, I feel like a fool, but I have to defend my apostleship. I have to defend. Why? Why did he have to do this? Because they were telling the church that what Paul is saying is not true. So Paul is saying, okay, they say that they're this, well, I am that too. They say that they're this, I am that too. And I'm a Hebrew, so they're a Hebrew, so am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they from the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they the ministers of Christ? He says, I speak as a fool. I am more. And he talks here in labors more abundant. Now we start hearing. If he wouldn't have written this, we would have never known what he suffered. And you know, we love the Apostle Paul. Right? We read of him and I know as always when from my early youth, I always thought of the Apostle Paul as one of the most inspiring of writers of a life that he lived. Because how can you read this chapter and not just pause and compare your own life to his? And my walk as a Christian and as a believer, as a lover of truth, to the life of the Apostle Paul. He says here, in labors more abundant, he says, in stripes. Listen to this. In stripes above measure. We don't have those recorded, except here. He was beaten so many times that he lost count. You know, he knew when he was beaten 39 times, you know, 40 stripes save one. He says five times. He can count those. Here he said he was beaten above measure. So when he sets out on a missionary journey, he knows what is awaiting him. And he goes. He goes. He knows. He says here, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent. He knows when he sets off to this city that very possibly they're going to capture him. They're going to beat him. They're going to put him in prison. He's going to be tied up to another guard, and he's going to sit there for a year or two. And what does he say? I'm going. Why? This is why he's defending his apostleship here. Because the words that he speaks, he knows came direct from God. And so, brothers and sisters, the word we have here is the inerrant word of God. It comes from God himself. This word. And he has to deliver that message. They didn't have the word as we have it today. But he is inspired by God, taught by God directly. He said, I didn't receive it. I didn't go to the other disciples to learn from them. I got the direct revelation from God himself. And it is my duty. Why? Because of his love. As Brother John mentioned this morning, love is paramount in our life. It was through his love that he had for his Savior that he disregarded the danger, the prisons, the beatings. I'm going. And it says here, in deaths, often, he faced death everywhere he went. Everywhere he goes, he faces death and beatings and prisons. He lost track of how many times he was beaten. Then he says of the Jews, five times received thy 40 stripes, save one. I read that the way the Jews did that, they administered 26 lashes to the back and 13 to the chest. He had nowhere to lay down to recover. He couldn't lay on his stomach. He couldn't lay on his back. They didn't do this one time. They did it five times. After the first time, what would we say? I'm not going there again. God showed me. I got beat that time. I'm not supposed to go now. That's kind of my reasoning. It wasn't Paul's. He's going. Why? Because the truth of God's word has to go out. Why? Because he loves this church. He loves people. Why does he love them? Why does he love why did he love the prisoner or the guard who put him in prison and beat him? And they said, we know how he was beaten, how bad he was beaten, because it says that the guard took him to his house and he dressed his wounds. He was bloodied and bleeding. His skin was just like yours and mine. You get beat, it's going to hurt. Everything hurts just the same as us. He's broken. And then he said, three times I was beaten with rods. Men were walking around with rods to administer immediate punishment to those who received that. Three times I was beaten with rods. And once was I stoned. And we have that recording in the scripture how he was stoned and dragged out of the city. And they assumed he was dead. Now, we have to keep in mind, when we read that, that doesn't mean like, oh, you know, I think he's dead. Yeah, that's enough. No, the rocks stopped flying at him when they knew he was dead. They knew he was dead. They killed him. And then they left him alone. So it wasn't like a partial stoning, like, well, you know, that's enough. They stoned him until they were assured he was dead. Paul says here about 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell. Whether they're out of the body, I cannot tell. God knows such an one. And then he talks about himself, even in the third person here. He says he was caught up in the third heaven. Was this when he was killed? Was he actually killed when he was stoned? Why would we not believe he couldn't have been? They were assured he was dead. Is that when God raised him from the dead? Is that when he saw this vision? Is this when he was transported into the third heaven? This isn't the sky we look at that the birds are flying in. This isn't the night sky that we look at into the horizon and see distances that we can't even fathom of stars of the next level of the heavens. This is in the third heaven. This is outside of creation. This is not where what you and I can see or any telescope can see. Paul said, I was there. Fourteen years ago this happened. He's now writing about it. He's now talking about it to the church. Today some man has some dream and he writes a big old novel of what he experienced in a dream, making up all kinds of things that aren't scriptural at all. And the masses flock to that. Oh, what kind of experience did he have? Paul said, I'm not even allowed to speak of what I saw. I can't speak about it. I want to hear it, don't you? Would it do me any good? If it would, God would have wrote it for me and you. The good that we do have written are the truths of Jesus Christ. And how precious are those to you and me. But I want to see about this vision. That's what my flesh wants to know. What did Paul experience? What did Lazarus experience when he died and he came back? He never talked about it. What about those, I think it's 500, that resurrected when Christ was crucified and resurrected? It says, the number is 500, that they had to die again. What was their story? We don't hear it anywhere. Paul said, once I was stoned, three times I suffered shipwreck. All of those aren't even written down for us, but he's telling us he had three shipwrecks. And one of those shipwrecks, he spent an entire night and a day in the deep. Abandoned ship. Picture Paul leaping out of the ship. Some lumber floats by. He grabs a hold of it. An entire night and an entire day he's floating in the sea. Dangers everywhere, underneath. As God shut the mouths of the lions in Daniel's den, so he shut the mouths of the sharks They were easily circling around him. But he's suffering in deep. It's cold, stormy. In journeyings often. I think I read one time, if we trace what was written, only what was written of his travelings on land and his journeys, he traveled nearly 6,000 miles of what was written. And in the sea, the journeys that he took in the sea are 7,000 miles of travel back in that day. Not today's day of technology, but back in that day. That's how much time he spent in journeyings. He says in journeyings often, in dangers of waters, in dangers of robbers, in dangers of mine own countrymen. He suffered. He loved Jerusalem, but he learned very quickly he was not welcome in Jerusalem. In my own countrymen, dangers by the heathen, and dangers in the city, perils, dangers. Dangers in the wilderness, and dangers in the sea, and dangers among false brethren. We never would have heard this. It says, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. And then he goes on, he says, besides those things that are without, this is all coming from the world, that which cometh upon me daily, every day, the care of all of the churches. The love that he had for the church that was established in Christ Jesus. And what he would do for that church, he'd give his life for it. Did Paul love? Did Paul have the love of Christ in him? I don't think it's to be questioned. So where's my love and your love today? Who is weak? He said, am I not weak? Who's offended and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. And then he goes and he says, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. God is his witness. He says, I'm not glorying in these things. I'm speaking as you want to be, as you want me to speak. Because I have to defend my apostleship, because the words that I speak are coming from God. They're not mine. And I need you to know that, he's saying. I need you to know that. So when the liars come, when those that tell you it's okay to do this, well, it's okay to do this. Well, you can go to this boundary. You can do this. That doesn't mean that. And if you say something, they slap you in the mouth and you gladly accept them? Because I'm speaking the truth. God knows it. And then here's the one that apprehended him. He says, and he was let out. This is the apostle of Jesus Christ. Picture him in the deep all day and all night. Picture him getting beaten. Picture him being stoned. Picture him in prison. Picture him tied up to... Who is he? He's an apostle of Jesus Christ. You know, when we go visit another church, another city, we're welcomed so beautifully. We're hosted. We're received. We have sweet fellowship with one another. It's a beautiful blessing. We just heard this morning, many who traveled far distances and not so far, who came and visited and expressed the blessings they received in fellowship. Paul comes here, and they're waiting to apprehend him when he travels. And so they have to put him in a basket and let him down out of a window to escape. And so now he talks about this vision that he saw. He says, I was caught up into paradise. We know what paradise is. That's where God dwells. And he heard unspeakable words. What did he hear? You know, Paul was apprehended on the road to Damascus. He saw Jesus Christ. What was it at that moment that he was able to dedicate himself to this service? Because many saw Jesus Christ. Many saw his miracles. Many saw things that he did. They saw him raise people from the dead. They saw the things that you and I want to see. Why do we want to see that? Don't ask me. But it's not because of faith. It's because of a lack of faith. It's a lack of faith that wants to see these things and wants to know. Well, we have to believe. We have to believe. And so he says here, that is not lawful for me to utter. And, oh, as I was going, so what is it that Paul, what happened on that road to Matt? Paul told Saul, told Jesus, he says, it's not even coming to me right now, exact, I can't quote it, but what will you have me to do? Lord, I am submitting myself entirely unto you. I am here. Absolute surrender, absolute submission to his creator, his Lord, his God, his all. Paul spoke so highly of Jesus Christ that he dared not even think of introducing anything in his life that might rob him of just a moment of skewed vision of who he is. But John spoke this morning about how important it is for us to consider even everything that we purchase. What do we do? How is that going to affect my walk in Christ? What will it do to me? Where is it going to put me? Is it going to elevate me? Where am I going to go? What is its purpose? What am I seeking from this? That's what Paul said. I will suffer the loss of everything so that I may know him. There's nothing that is going to stand in my way to know him. There's nothing that is worth pursuing in this life to lose Jesus Christ. And what was he doing here? It says, he tells us here, the sufferings that he'd gone through. So that you and I, my generation, I'm 60, my generation has no clue about any of what Paul just spoke about. We don't. We don't know. You know, what do we do when we think we have it hard? Hard? What? How do we have it hard? And we do have it hard, right? When we talk about amongst ourselves, some things happen in our lives and so on. I have to shut my mouth when I read what Paul endured every day. And why? Why did he endure this? For Jesus Christ. For Jesus Christ. He was on a mission of service to his Lord. He says it's not lawful for a man to utter the things that he saw. And the words, the unspeakable words that he heard. The unspeakable words that Paul heard in paradise. He says, it's not lawful for a man, again, he's speaking in the third person, to utter. I cannot say these things to you. And so they remain a mystery to us. And we shouldn't dwell on that. What we need to dwell on is, who is Jesus? How did Paul fall, if I could say it that way, in love with Christ so deeply that he went through so many beatings, shipwrecks? He knows what's awaiting him. And he says, yeah, I'm going to go. And his love for the jailer who just beat him and bloodied him. He says, don't stab yourself. Don't kill yourself. We're all here. We're not going anywhere. And he preached Christ to the one who just beat him. Love your enemies. Do good to those who despitefully use you. Do we have any idea what that even means? We all say we do. I did. But to actually have in your life someone who is persecuting you, I'm going to use that word, meaning in some way disrupting calmness in your life, to love him and want to do good for him. That's the love of God. Paul had that. It's unmistakable. And he says here, He says, of such and one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. So Paul realized something that you and I, brothers and sisters, my prayer is that we also realize. Have you ever in a moment of glee, if I could say that word, or a moment of extreme joy of something happens. Let's say you get a six-figure job, seven-figure job, whatever it is, and you're just in jubilation. My dream job, my this, or this was my goal. I'm so happy. Have you ever felt so close to God in that moment as you did in your moments of infirmity? I guarantee you, you have not. You couldn't. Paul says, I'm glorying in my infirmities, in those things that I suffer for Christ. That's what I will glory, because God gets glory. He taught us to pray. Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Everything in your life, everything in my life that we do, say, dream, must glorify the name of Jesus Christ. I will glory in my infirmities, for though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. Don't think of me as someone great. The blessed apostle who had endured for Christ, he says, that's not me. It's Christ in me. Don't think of me above measure. And he says here, and lest I should be exalted above measure. How? Through the abundance of revelations. Does that take your breath away? Paul says, I've been given so much that in order to keep me humble, you see what a man does? You see what a man is? You know, a man can be given by God a memory. And we go, whoa, you know, how do you remember that? How can you recite, you know, the book of Isaiah by heart? How can you do, you know, who gave that to him? Is it him? Did he study how I'm going to retain these things? No. It's God-given. But what man does, he exalts himself. He lifts himself up. He's puffed up. That's why the apostles were endowed with power that you and I do not have. And no one has today. There's no one that can lift someone up from the dead with a word. No one can. That was an era that had died with the apostles. It was there for a confirmation of the great change that had taken place from the law to grace. When Jesus Christ died for your sins and mine, he bled and he died on the cross. He was buried and resurrected for your sins and mine, so that we might have a hope of coming back to him. Paul found him on the road to Damascus. Where did you find him? Where did we find him? You know what? I've said it before, and others, I've heard it preached too. You may not have this kind of testimony to give as Apostle Paul. Blinded by light, fell down. You know, we know that story beautifully. It's powerful to read. But you know that your conversion, my dear brother and my dear sister, is just as powerful. When, by grace, God has spoken to your heart and you listened to him. You don't need anything to fall down from heaven to crash next to you to say, oh, this is the sign that I need. There's no other sign shall be given but that of the prophet Jonas, it says. Another sign. It says, an evil and adulterous nation seeketh after a sign. Don't look for signs. Look for Christ. Where are you going to find him? Here. Study his word. Study him. Know him the way Paul knew him. But you can't know him just by studying him. You have to say, Lord, what will you have me to do? As we read on Wednesday, as Daniel, he had a purpose in his heart. I will not defile myself with the king's meats. I will not do that. I have a purpose. And he took that purpose to God in prayer. And God gave him the clarity. As Brother John spoke of this morning, again, going back to that. He gives you and me clarity when we have a purpose. When we go to him in prayer, we will have clarity in knowing, yes, this does not belong in my house. This does not belong in my life. I don't need this. This will not exalt God. It exalts me. God forbid that I would ever seek to be exalted by another man. And so he says here, I'll close here. I'm past my time. He says, so lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me. Why? So wait a minute. It's a messenger of Satan to buffet him, lest I should be exalted above measure. So you see, what Satan did to Job, God permitted Satan to do that. God permitted. Satan was eager to do this to Paul because he feels that through that suffering, he's going to curse God. Well, we find Paul here again. Not only did he suffer all these things, he said, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelation, was given to me a thorn in the flesh. All those beatings weren't enough. The prison wasn't enough. The shipwrecks, the deep, all those things that he suffered daily. He said, lest I should be exalted above measure, I was buffeted. I was given a thorn in the flesh. That's all we know about this thorn in the flesh. We don't know anything more. We can surmise. We can talk. We can say it's this. But he does say it's a thorn in the flesh. It's a physical thing. It's a physical thing. He suffered greatly from it. And he prays, Lord, you know, this hurts. I pray, Lord, remove it. The answer from God is no. No. Paul, it hurts. And he prays again. He says, Lord, remove this. No. Paul prays again. He prays three times that it might depart from him. And God speaks to him. And he says unto him, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in your weakness. You want to exalt yourself? You want to be exalted? Christ isn't there. You know, you and I pray for power from on high every day, right? We pray for Christ's power. He's very careful who he gives that power to. And who is able to receive it. And the power I'm speaking of is not power to raise someone from the dead or to heal someone, but just power to overcome. And you say, well, God would surely want to give me that power. He gives it to me as much as I desire it, as much as I am willing to surrender, as much as I am willing to give up to know him, as much as I am willing, he will endue me with that power. And he says, God said to him, Jesus spoke to him and said, my grace is sufficient for you. You've gone through all this stuff, Paul. You're going through this. It's okay. I'm with you. And my strength, you will be strengthened by me in your weakness, so that you're not exalted, so that you're not puffed up. You see how easy it is? What? Paul received so much revelation that he had to endure a thorn in the flesh. And he said, Lord, thank you. You know, every trial we go through, brothers and sisters, I believe that he does that to us, to put us where we belong with him. And we will respond to that in one of two ways. We will reject it. God is not fair. That's not fair. What have I done for you, Lord? What have I done this and this? That's not fair. Or we will say, as Apostle Paul did here, he says, therefore, I take pleasure. What does he do? He takes pleasure in what? In infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Wow, brothers and sisters, what is that? I just look at this and say, who am I? Truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you, in all patience and signs and wonders and mighty deeds. And he goes on, he asks them to forgive him. So, as we go through our lives, brothers and sisters, as we journey through here, what is this life to us? To Abraham, it became very clear that he's on a pilgrimage and this place is not his home. To Paul, it became very clear. And so the only way that clarity comes to us is when we also have a purpose in our heart and we take it to the Lord in prayer. And then that clarity, that vision, we will come to visions. And I'm not speaking of being taken to the third heaven and so on. that we can now go and write books about. No. We'll have a clear vision of who Christ is. His meekness, his lowliness, his love. Actually, let me just close in one reading, because this kind of just sums it up. In the closing verses of chapter 8 of Romans, it's a chapter that all of us love so much. He says, who shall separate us from what? From the love of Christ. Love is paramount. Without that love, Paul could not have endured that. Without that love for his Lord, he couldn't have endured that. He couldn't. But love is stronger than death. Love is stronger than any persecution. Love is the strongest force, because love is God. Isn't that powerful? So he says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulations or distress or persecutions or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? You know, we're speaking from someone who experienced those things. He says, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.